And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Whitney. We're talking about Prop 63, the Mental Health Services Act. We're in Fresno County. MHSA coordinator Karen Markland is joining us as well here in the studios here in Fresno. Karen, I know we've talked about the different programs, some of the different challenges that the county faces. Every county has different challenges. One of the things that we talked about were FSPs. Tell me what an FSP is.
So the FSP stands for our Full Service Partnerships, and this was one of the requirements of Mental Health Services Act is that we dedicate funds to a full service partnership, which is quite often known as the Cadillac of mental health services. So these are high level, high intensity services for our individuals that we may have felt need that higher level of service. So they get more frequent case management visits. There'll be an opportunity for housing. There's an opportunity for some more kind of intensive, flexible, meet you where you're at type of programming.
Which leads us into our next guest, who is Ivan Martinez. Ivan, you are someone who has received these types of services. Tell me a little bit about your story, how you got to where you are today.
Hi.
Hi.
Pleasure to be here today. Let's see, a little bit about my story. I was going through a lot of probably some of the worst mental episodes that I've gone through in my life, along with some addiction, problems with addiction, and homelessness. And got the application done through the Department of Behavioral Health, a woman there, through their, for a chronically homeless, I believe, or severe mental health problems. And actually got the call. And when I was, to make a long story short, when I got the phone call, I got there and I was expecting having to pay, come up with the first and last month deposit, and just, you know, I had no idea what it really was. It was a program for people, like I said, that had severe mental health issues. Basically, when I got the phone call, I had no idea, you know, what to expect. I guess the way they have it is, you know, my income was zero, so I didn't have to come up with the first and last deposit, first and last month's rent. I had housing authority on site and, you know, Department of Behavioral Health there. So the services are like, you know, pretty much like Karen was saying, you know, in your face, you know, so.
In your face in a good way.
Yeah,
huh?
In a good way. You know, I wake up, they're there. I when I go to sleep at night, they're there.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, yeah,
so,
it's pretty awesome.
So you received housing?
Yeah, received housing. I live there now. I'm still there. The name of the place is Trinity Renaissance.
What's it like?
For me, it completely helped me to change my life and the transformation of my life completely. I'm celebrating 18 months of sobriety.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I just completed a post-conviction drug court
awesome.
Program. Just graduated in late December. It's an 18-month outpatient program.
Good for you.
Yeah, with flying colors. So I got that going. I'm still at Trinity.
So are you still receiving services?
Yeah. Yes.
And the services are there. So case management and therapy. And are you different from how you were, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah. 5 years ago, I was going through a really rough time. I had lost a couple of family members. I was going through some health. I have some health issues that I've addressed since then that, you know, that were kind of taking their toll on me. I was dealing with housing issues. I was really in a bad place. And I pretty much felt like, you know, it's a miracle that I'm here speaking, you know, to people today, because I pretty much counted myself out as far as, you know, my journey in life. So, you know, pretty amazing
well,
stuff.
What would you say to people who are still in the situation you were in?
What would I say to people that are in the situation that I was in? You know, get linked up, you know, give it a shot. You know, I consider myself to be like a really severe case. I felt like there was no hope. I didn't feel like I could do it. And people around me, pretty much when they see me now, it's like, the expression on their face is like, it's total disbelief. They're like, wow, I can't believe it's you, you know?
That is
severe, yeah.
Wonderful.
So the whole key is, you know, don't give up. You know, there's services out there and just utilize them, you know?
So I understand that you actually go out and speak now?
Occasionally, mm-hmm. I do. I tell my story. It seems like I'm at the point, you know, in my life and in my, you know, recovery and I'm addressing, you know, a lot of things that I was mental health and, you know, physical disabilities and stuff that I'm addressing now, that I feel like I can have an influence on people that feel like, you know, there's no hope and that nobody cares. And it's just about a lot of things, believe it or not, it's about word of mouth. You know, you hear this, you hear that, you're in the right place at the right time. And I think sharing a lot of information that I have, you know, to get it out there to people that are, you know, on the front lines out there on the street that, you know, are, you know, camping out, that aren't taking their medication, you know, they may be using a drug, a substance, you know, maybe whatever it is. Coming from a guy like me, I really feel like I can have an impact on them.
Which is why peer support is so important, Karen. We mentioned peer support earlier.
Absolutely. We have a very robust peer support recovery system, both through a peer support wellness and recovery center called Blue Sky. We also, in all of our housing sites, so Ivan mentioned Renaissance at Trinity. We have 3 Renaissance properties that are all permanent supportive housing that are in partnership with our Housing Authority and Mental Health Services Act. And one of our requirements is in on-site staffing. We have a case manager or a community mental health specialist, as well as a peer support specialist, because we really find that value of telling that story and that lived experience to just really have a message that others can't deliver.
And Ivan, do you find that, have you heard stories from others and received peer support as well? Has that made a difference for you?
Actually, yeah. It makes a big difference. There's a woman that was doing the wrap program. It's like a 6-week course, wellness recovery awareness program. I could totally relate to her. One of her help assistants was a consumer, actually, there, and so I felt right at home.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I was speaking to somebody who it just felt like pretty natural.
And that's what's so important. Ivan, I want to thank you so much for coming in and telling your story.
Well, thank
you. It's really, you never know who you can touch and who you can reach by speaking, and so being able to get the word out by way of radio, too, is really valuable. So I really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you for having me.
So, Karen, talking again about the programs that are offered, we talked about CSS, the Community Services and Supports. We talked about Full Service Partnerships. We talked about PEI, Prevention and Early Intervention. There's also one component that we haven't touched on, and that's innovation. So innovation is something that is really exciting as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Great opportunity for counties to try something out, which, for the lack of better words, that sounds very loose, but it really is money that's directed towards that and says, you know, pick a problem statement, see how you want to find a solution, and then give it a try. Do some research. Get some data. So through our stakeholder process, once again, with innovations, our community clearly said, we want services that acknowledge our cultural and linguistic differences.
And one of those that is funded through innovation dollars is the alternative holistic, no. Okay. One of the services that is funded by those innovation dollars is a holistic center. And joining us right now is Dr. Zhang. Dr. Zhang, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Tell me a little bit about the holistic center. Yes. What do we need to know about it?
The Holistic Culture and Education Wellness Centers, really, our mission is to empower individuals and families to live a well-balanced lifestyle. And so when you are giving a very diverse communities, over 70 different languages and cultures who are seeking alternative ways of helping them to live in this country, where do they go? If they don't traditionally want to go see, you know, mental health, where do they go? So really, this center is really, you know, there for the families to come in and be able to link them to services that they're familiar with, that they're comfortable with, that they can feel at home.
So it's very non-traditional. It's holistic. So tell me about some of the services that you would offer.
Okay. Many of the services that currently we have over there, we do like mindful body movement that include some from the Sikh community, like the Gaika, some karate, yoga, Zumba, and some Khmer healing dance that also over there. And then we also have support groups and activities that we show a lot of the people about, you know, healing arts. And traditionally, how are some of those adapted? And we also have a healing garden in the back where people could come in and garden certain traditional herbs that they use to help their body heal. So in addition to some of those, we have alternative healing education workshops like indigenous healings, transcendental meditation, and also learn about Hmong shaman rituals as well.
Oh, shaman rituals?
Yes.
Very, very interesting. So, Karen, getting back to the innovation dollars, it's a very small amount of money that goes toward innovation.
Yes, it's just one very small component of overall each county's Mental Health Services Act dollars. I believe the regulations identify that of our overall allocation of the community services and supports and the prevention, 5% is funneled towards innovations. So it's a small piece, but it's a very powerful piece, because what we can do and what we have done here locally is we can try an innovative program, opt that it has really been successful, and then move it into some of those other funding streams, always allowing us to have, for the lack of better words, turnover of innovative ideas.
Absolutely, because that is how you improve. That's how you begin to expand the offerings that are available for people to access services. And that is what is so exciting about innovation. So, Dr. Zhang, how many are we talking? Are we talking a lot of people coming to the center?
Yes. I mean, over the years, the last two and a half years that we worked on the programs, we have made contact to over 10,000 of people. And not only that, but we're right now in the forefront, I feel, in terms of getting something to really be able to use. And that's the creation of an alternative manual book that we wanted to create, because one of the things that a lot of people are very skeptical and scared of is say, you have all these alternative healing practicing and they don't have a standard way of standardizing their practice, or where did they go to make sure that they're, if people go see them, that they're safe. So we have the standard manual that actually lay out some guidelines that in order for them to be on this list, that they have to, you know, do some background check, go through some trainings, and know what to do to refer or all that stuff.
Excellent, excellent. So this is a snapshot of what's going on in Fresno County. If you want to find out about any services in Fresno County or the county that you live in, all you need to do is go to prop63.org, look under services, and all of the services in each county are listed. And I want to thank all of my guests today, Karen Markland, the MHSA coordinator for Fresno County, Ivan Martinez, telling your wonderful story and giving us hope in recovery. Dr. Zhang with the Holistic Center, all of you, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.